awesome God and that he's worthy to be praised. Do me a favor, go in your Bible to the book of 1 Corinthians. And then I want you to do something else. I want you to stay in the book of 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. And I'm going to read verse 10. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. First Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 10. When you have it, say amen. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. I want to talk this morning on the subject, a letter to the Corinthians at Berean. A letter to the Corinthians at Berean. Father God, we acknowledge your presence here today. There's a little chiming going on in the background, but we want nothing to distract us from hearing your voice. Settle our spirits in Christ Jesus. For we pray this in your holy name. Amen. The way the epistles were read in the days of the apostles is that someone would stand up to read the letter from Paul and everyone would listen intently. Matter of fact, that's where the whole idea comes from in the book of Revelations. Blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of the prophecy of this book. Because whether you know it or not, the book of Revelation was an epistle. And so the way that it worked was that someone would stand up to read and then someone would listen and then the others would listen intently. So 1 Corinthians 1 says, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sophanes, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that you may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Now, I beseech you, brethren, by the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. But I want you to notice how Paul starts the epistle. Notice his thesis. Notice his overarching point. It's right there in verse 10. You just read it. Here is the thesis statement for the rest of the epistle. Now, I'm reading now from the New King James Version, but you can follow along. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. The issue Paul wanted the church to focus on was unity. The issue was what? The issue was unity. Paul said that there be no divisions among you. I had a different subject I was going to preach today, but then we had a prayer conference call with all the pastors of the Southwest Region Conference on Thursday evening. And one of the ministers of the gospel who was responsible for one of the segments of the prayer opened up with this right here, 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. And I said, we've got to hear that here at Berean. The word division, the issue Paul wanted the church to focus on was unity. Paul said that there be no divisions among you. The word division, right here in 1 Corinthians 1 and verse 10, this word division comes from the word schism. You've heard that word before, haven't you? It comes from the word schism. In other words, Paul said, so that there will be no schisms or cliques in the church. So there'll be no schisms or cliques in the church. Then Paul uses the rest of the epistle, the rest of his letter, the rest of this writing to discuss the things that can cause division in the church. And then he reminds the church that they should stand united no matter what comes. Paul says, as you're looking at 1 Corinthians, Paul says, stand united and do not allow yourselves to be divided into any clique or groups in the church. And here he goes again. Now I plead with you, verse 10. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it has been declared to me concerning you, my brethren, by those of Chloe's household, that there are contentions among you. Now I say this, that each of you says, I am of Paul, or I am of Apollos, or I am of Cephas, or I am of Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized into the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you except Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I baptized in my own name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Besides, I do not know whether I baptized any other. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of no effect. The message that Paul has here is to stand united. Stand united in one accord. And don't let anything in this foolish world, stand united. And don't let anything in this foolish world cause the gospel, rather, of Jesus Christ to become your stumbling block. Stand united, and don't let anything cause the gospel of Jesus to become your stumbling block. Verse 18, he says, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this age? Have God not made the foolishness of the wisdom of this world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through wisdom did not know God, it pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. For Jews request a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. To the Jews, it is a stumbling block. To the Greeks, it is foolishness. But to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. Because the foolishness of God is wiser than the wisdom of men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Are there any Corinthians here at Berean this morning? The message that he has for you, if you're listening, is to stand united. Stand united in one accord and keep each other focused on Jesus and him crucified. Stand united and keep each other focused on Jesus's salvation. There are many distractions in this world, but keep each other focused, for you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called, but God hath chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God hath chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world that are despised, God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, that no flesh should glory in his presence. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him glory in the Lord. And I, brethren, when I came to you, did not come with excellence of speech or of wisdom, declaring to you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Are there any Corinthians here at Berean this morning? The message is to stand united in one accord and to keep each other committed to receiving and searching for the wisdom of God. Verse chapter 2 and verse 6 says, however, we speak wisdom among those who are mature, yet not the wisdom of this age, nor the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing, but we speak the wisdom of God and a mystery, the hidden wisdom of God, which he ordained before the ages for our glory, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for if they had known it, then they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, nor has it even entered into the hearts of men, the wonderful things that God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed it unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of that man? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now, we have received not the spirit of this world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. These things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, nor can he know them because they are spiritually discerned. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that they may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. And I, brethren, could not speak to you as to spiritual people, but as to carnal, as to babes in Christ. I fed you with milk and not with solid food, for until now you were not able to receive it. And even now you are not able, for you are still carnal. For there are envy and strife and divisions among you. Are you not carnal and behaving like mere men? For when one says, I am a Paul, another says, I am Apollos, are you not carnal? Are there any Corinthians at Berean this morning? Then the message to you is very simple. Stand united in one accord and work together to finish the work of Christ's vineyard. Work together to bring souls to Christ. Chapter 3 and verse 5, he goes on saying, who then is Paul or who is Apollos, but ministers to whom you believed as the Lord gave to each one? I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then, neither he who plants is anything, nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase. Now, he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. According to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation, another builds on it. But let each of you take heed how he builds on it. For no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Christ Jesus. For if anyone builds on this foundation with gold or silver or precious stones, wood, hay, or straw, each one's work will become clear. For the day will declare it, because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's works of what sort it may be. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned up, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. Are there any Corinthians at Berean this morning? Then the message to you is to stand united. The message to you is to stand united. The message to you is to stand united in one accord to help each other to remain humble. Help each other to only depend on God's wisdom. He says in chapter 3, verse 18, let no one deceive himself. If anyone among you seems to be wise in this age, let him become a fool that he may become wise. For the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. For it is written, he catches the wise in their own craftiness. And again, the Lord knows the thoughts of the wise, that they are futile. Therefore, let no one boast in men, for all things are yours, whether Paul or Apollos or Cephas or the world or life or death or things present or things to come, all are yours, and you are Christ, and Christ is God's. Let a man so consider us as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. Moreover, it is required of a mere steward that he be found faithful. But with me is a very small thing that I should be judged by you or by a human court. In fact, I do not even judge myself, for I know of nothing against myself. Yet I am not justified by this, but he who judges me is the Lord. Therefore, judge nothing before time until the Lord comes, who will both bring to light the hidden things of darkness and reveal the counsels of the heart. Then each one praise will come from God. Are there any Corinthians attending Berean this morning? Then the message to you is to stand united in one accord. The message to you is to stand united in one accord, to help each other to remain humble. Help each other to only depend on God's strength, as he says in chapter 4, verse 6. Now, these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sakes, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, that none of you become puffed up on behalf of one against the other. For who makes you differ from another? And what do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you boast as if you had not received it? You are already full. You are already rich. You have reigned as kings without us. And indeed, I could wish you did reign, that you might also reign with us. For I thank that God has displayed us, the apostles, last as men condemned to death. For we have become made a spectacle to the world, both to angels and to men. We are fools for Christ's sake, but you are wise in Christ. We are weak, but you are strong. We are distinguished. You are distinguished, but we are dishonored. To the present hour, we both hunger and thirst, and we are poorly clothed and beaten and homeless. And we labor, working with our own hands, being reviled, we bless, being persecuted, we endure, being defamed, we entreat. We have been made as the filth of the world, the offscouring of things until now. Stand united in one accord to help each other to remain humble. Help each other to only depend on God's guidance. For it says in verse 14, I do not write these things to shame you, but as my beloved children, I warn you. For though you might have 10,000 instructors in Christ, yet you do not have many fathers. For in Christ Jesus, I have begotten you through the gospel. Therefore, I urge you, imitate me. For this reason, I have sent Timothy to you, who is my beloved and faithful son in the Lord, who will remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach everywhere in every church. Now, some are puffed up as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you shortly if the Lord wills, and I will know not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power. For the kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. What do you want? Shall I come to you with a rod or in love and in a spirit of gentleness? Are there any Corinthians attending Berean this morning? The message is simple. It is to stand united in one accord and to refuse to let one of Berean's members be pulled into Satan's trap of sin. Stand together in one accord. Don't let the members be seduced and drawn into Satan's web of perdition. He says in chapter 5, verse 1, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you. And such sexual immorality is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man actually has his father's wife. And you are puffed up? Are you serious? You are puffed up and have not rather mourned that the one who has done this deed might be taken away from among you? For I indeed, as absent in the body but present in spirit, have already judged as though I were present him who has done so this deed. In the name of the Lord Jesus, when you are together along with my spirit, with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of his flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. The message is to stand united in one accord and refuse to do whatever it takes. And I'm sorry, to stand united in one accord and to do whatever it takes to reclaim, to recapture, to reintroduce, to reinvite, to rejoin in fellowship that member who has been pulled into Satan's trap. Paul goes on to say in verse 9, I write to you in my epistle not to keep company with sexually immoral people. Yet I certainly did not mean with the sexually immoral people of this world, or with the covetous, or with the extortioners, or idolaters. Since then, you would need to go out of this world. But now, I have written to you not to keep company with anyone who is named a brother, but who is sexually immoral, or anyone who is covetous, or an idolater, or a reveler, or a drunkard, or an extortioner. No, not even to eat with such a person. For what have I to do with judging those who are on the outside? Do you not judge those who are inside? But those who are on the outside, God judges. Therefore, put away from yourselves the evil person. Are there any Corinthians attending Berean this morning? The message is to stand united in one accord and to work together to settle disputes that may arise between various members. We have to come together in one accord so that we can settle disputes that may arise between the various members. Deliver the ungodly, walk in the wisdom of God, keep each other humble, and when there arise disputes among us, pray together and work that there might be harmony. For Paul says, dare any of you, having a matter against another, go to the law before the unrighteous and not before the saints? Do you not know that the saints will judge the world? And if the world will be judged by you, are you unworthy to judge the smallest matters? Do you not know that we shall judge angels? How much more things that pertain to this life? If then you have judgments concerning things pertaining to this life, do you appoint those that are least esteemed by the church to judge? I say this to your shame. It is so. That there is not a wise man among you, not even one, who will be able to judge between his brethren? But brothers go to the law against another brother, and that before unbelievers. Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to the law against one another. Here's an idea. Why don't you rather accept being wronged? Why don't you rather let yourselves be cheated? Why not just let yourselves be cheated? Why not just let somebody do you wrong? No, you yourselves do wrong and cheat, and you do these things to your brethren. Are there any Corinthians attending Berean? The message is to stand united in one accord and work together to help each other to overcome sexual temptations and sexual immorality. For it says in verse 9, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor slanderers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. I'm going to read that again. Nor thieves, verse 10, nor the greedy, nor drunkards, nor gossipers. That's what that word slanderers mean. Nor gossipers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you. But you were washed. But you were sanctified. But you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful to me, but not all things are helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Foods for the stomach and the stomach for foods, but God will destroy both it and them. Now the body is not for sexual immorality, but for the Lord, and the Lord is for the body. And God both raised up the Lord and will also raise us up by his power. Do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and then make them members of a harlot? Certainly not. Or do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one with him. Flee sexual immorality. Every sin that a man does is outside of his body. But he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God? You are not your own, for you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Are there any Corinthians attending Berean? Any Corinthians at Berean this morning? Then the message is a very simple message today, and that is to stand united in one accord. If I didn't say it clearly the last time, I'll say it this time. Stand united in one accord. If you see a brother in fault, stand united and lift him up. If two people are arguing, stand united to settle their dispute. If someone thinks that they're better than somebody else, stand united to help them be humble. If the work needs to be finished, then stand united to finish the work in the master's vineyard. Is there anybody from Corinth at Berean this morning? Then the message is to stand united in one accord and use your Holy Spirit gifts to build each other up in Christ Jesus. I'm in chapter 12 now, verse 1. You'll catch up with me. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, chapter 12, verse 1. Brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles, carried away to these dumb idols, however you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. And no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. There are diversities of gifts, but it is the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but it is the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. For to one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit. To another, the word of knowledge through the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, the gifts of healing by the same Spirit. Verse 10, to another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, discerning of spirits. To another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills. For as the body is one and has many members in that one body, and though it be many, they are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew or Greek, whether slave or free, and we have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but the body is many members. If the foot should say, because I'm not the hand, I'm not of the body, is it therefore really not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not the eye, I'm not of the body, is it therefore really not part of the body? If the whole body were an eye, then where would be the hearing? If the whole were hearing, then where would be the smelling? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body just as he pleased. And if they were all one member, what would the body be? But now indeed there are many members, yet there is just one body. And the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. No, much rather, those members of the body which seem to be weaker are actually more necessary. And those members of the body which we think are less honorable are the ones that we bestow greater honor on. And our unpresentable parts have even greater modesty placed on them. But our presentable parts have no need. But God composed the body, having given greater honor to that part which lacks it, that there should be no schisms in the body, but that the members should have the same care for one another. And if one another suffers, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and you are his members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First, apostles. Second, prophets. Third, teachers. After that, miracles. Then the gift of healing, helps, administration, varieties of tongues. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have the gift of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts. And if you hold on a second, I will show you even a greater way. Are there any Corinthians attending Berean this morning? I said, are there any Corinthians attending Berean this morning? The message from God today is to stand united in one accord and to start living with genuine love for one another. Though I speak, chapter 13, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but I do not have love, I am becoming a sounding brass and a clanging cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all the mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have faith so that I can remove mountains, but I don't have love, then I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned, but if I don't have love, it profits me nothing. Love is patient. Love is kind. It does not envy. It does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It does not seek its own. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices in the truth. It always protects. It always trusts. It always hopes. It always preserves. That's why love never fails. But whether there are prophecies, they will fail. Where there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will just vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, that which is in part will be done away with. When I was a child, I spoke like a child. I understood as a child. I thought like a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as I am known. And now abideth faith, hope, and love. These three, but the greatest of these is love. Are there any Corinthians that are attending Berean this morning? Then the message to you is very simple. Stand united in one accord and prophesy to one another so that you might edify one another. He says in chapter 14, verse 1, pursue love and desire spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For he who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands him. However, in the spirit, he speaks mysteries. But he who prophesies speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men. He who speaks in the tongue edifies himself. But he who prophesies edifies the entire church. I wish you could all speak with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets that the church, that the body, that the members of Christ may receive edification. Stand united in one accord, that when one speaks in the tongue, the other may interpret in one accord, so that we all might be blessed. Now, verse 6 says, brethren, if I come to you speaking with tongues, what shall I profit you unless I speak to you either by revelation, by knowledge, by prophesying, or by teaching? Even things without life, whether it's a flute or a harp, when they make a sound, unless they make a distinction in sounds, how will you know what is piped or played? For if the trumpet makes an uncertain sound, who will prepare for battle? So likewise you, unless you utter by the tongue words easy to understand, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are, it may be, some kinds of languages in the world, and none of them is without significance. Therefore, if I do not know the meaning of the language, I shall be a foreigner to him who speaks, and he who speaks shall be a foreigner to me. Even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel in edifying the church. Therefore, let him who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is the confusion then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will also pray with the understanding. I will sing with the spirit, but I'll also sing with the understanding. Otherwise, if you bless with the spirit, how will he who occupies the place of the uninformed say, amen, as you're giving thanks, since he does not understand what you're saying? For you indeed give thanks, and that's well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God because I speak with tongues more than all of you. Yet in the church, I would rather speak five words with my understanding that I may teach others also than to speak 10,000 words in a tongue. Brethren, do not be children in understanding. However, in malice be babes, but in understanding be mature. In the law it is written, with men of other tongues and other lips I will speak to this people. And yet, for all that, they will not hear me, says the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to those who believe, but to unbelievers. But prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. Therefore, if the whole church comes together in one place and all speak with tongues, and there come in those who are uninformed or unbelievers, will they not say that you are out of your mind? But if you prophesy and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all. He is convicted by all. And thus the secrets of his hearts are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Stand united in one accord so that every time the Berean church comes together, everybody can be blessed. Everybody can be edified. Everybody can be encouraged in Jesus Christ. He says in verse 26 of chapter 14, how is it then, brethren, whenever you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation. Let all things be done for edification. If anyone speaks in a tongue, let there be two or at the most three, each in turn, and let one interpret. But if there is no interpreter, let him keep silent in the church and let him speak to himself and to God. Let two or three people speak and let the other judge. But if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silent. For you can all prophesy one by one that all may learn and all may be encouraged. And the spirits of the prophets are subject to the prophets. For God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. Now, let your women keep silent in the church, for they are not permitted to speak, but they are to be submissive, as the law also says. And if they want to learn something, let them ask their own husbands at home, for it is shameful for women to speak in church. Or did not the word of God come originally from you? Or was it to you that it reached? If anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things which I write to you are the commandments of the Lord. But if anyone is ignorant, let him be ignorant. Therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak with tongues. Let all things be done decently and in order. Are there any Corinthians at Berean on the organ? You help me on the organ, sir. Are there any Corinthians attending Berean? Stand united in one accord and humbly preach and teach each other about the gospel of Jesus. If you forget everything that is written in the first letter to the Corinthian church, remember this: to stand in one accord, united in Christ Jesus. Stand in one accord and humbly preach and humbly teach each other about the gospel of Jesus. Chapter 15, verse 1 says, moreover, brethren, I declare to you the gospel which I preach to you, which also you received and in which you stand, by which also you are saved, If you hold fast the word which I preached to you, unless you believed in vain. For I delivered to you first of all that which I received. That Jesus Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And that he was buried. That he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. And that he was seen by Cephas. Then by the 12. And then after that he was seen by over 500 brethren at once. Of whom the greater part remain alive to this present. But some of them have fallen asleep. After that, he was seen by James, then by all the apostles, then last of all, he was seen by me also. After everybody else saw Jesus, the last person that he revealed himself to was me. I'm not talking about Paul, I'm talking about Robert Davis now. He revealed himself to me, yes, for I am the least of all the preachers. I'm not even worthy to be called a preacher because I used to persecute the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me was not in vain, but I labor more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which is in me. Therefore, whether it was I or they, so we preached, and that's why you believe. Are there any Corinthians at Berean this morning? Then the message to you is very simple. Stand united in one accord and encourage each other to continue in Christ. Encourage each other to continue in Christ. The road gets rough. The going gets tough, and the mountains may seem hard to climb, but encourage each other to hold on a little while longer. Don't give up now. Keep pressing toward the mark. He says in verse 12, now if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then even Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty. And your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God because we have testified in God that he raised up Christ who he did not raise up, if in fact the dead are not raised. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, then we are of all men most miserable. We are of all men most pitiful. We are of all men most destitute. Are there any Corinthians at Berean this morning? Then I want you to encourage each other to continue in Christ. Encourage each other in the hope of the resurrection that is found in our Lord Jesus. He says in verse 20, but now Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of those that have fallen asleep. For since by man death came into the world, by man also came the resurrection from the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ Jesus shall all be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits, afterwards, those who are in Christ at his coming. Then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to the rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he puts all enemies under his foot. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. I want to tell somebody this morning, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. My wife laid her father to sleep, but don't you worry, death will be destroyed. Some of y'all, since I have been here, have had to kiss loved ones goodbye. But I want to tell you this morning, hold on a little while longer. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy comes in the morning. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. For he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who puts all things under him is accepted. Now, when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him, who puts all things under him. That God may be all and in all. Are there any Corinthians at Berean this morning? Then I want you to encourage each other to continue in Christ. When you see your brother getting sorrowful and weak and weary along the way, tell him to keep walking in Jesus. Tell him don't give up. Tell him don't surrender. Don't turn back and don't lay down their sword and shield just yet. There's a victory to be won. We still must continue in the fight. Encourage each other. Look at your neighbor this morning and say, neighbor, keep on keeping on. Are there any Corinthians at Berean this morning? Then I want you to encourage each other to continue in Christ. Encourage each other that the resurrection is real, that Jesus is real. He says in verse 29, otherwise, what will they do who are baptized for the dead if the dead do not rise at all? Why then are they baptized for the dead? And why do we stand in jeopardy every hour? I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. If in the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantage is it to me if the dead do not rise? If the dead do not rise, then let's just eat and drink, because tomorrow we're going to die anyway. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. Awake to righteousness and do not sin. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Are there any Corinthians at Berean this morning? Then I want you to encourage each other to continue in Christ. Encourage each other that because of the resurrection, it's going to all be worth it after a while. But someone will say, verse 35, how are the dead raised up? And with what body do they come? Oh, foolish one, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. And what we sow, you do not sow that body that shall be but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as he pleases, and to each seed it receives its own body. It goes in the ground, a little small apple seed. It comes out of the ground, a huge apple tree. It goes in the ground, a little small tomato seed. It comes out of the ground, a full branch of tomatoes. Yes! Yes! Don't get bogged down and worried, my friends. If you go down in Christ Jesus, you will come up in his glory. All flesh is not the same flesh, but there is one kind of flesh of men, another flesh of animals, another of fish, another of birds. There are also celestial bodies and terrestrial bodies. But the glory of the celestial is one and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There is one glory for the sun, another glory for the moon, another glory for the stars. For one differs from the other in its glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, but it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, but it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, but it is raised in power. It is sown as a natural body, but it is raised as a spiritual body. There is a natural body, and then there's a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, became a living being. The last Adam became a life-giving spirit. However, the spiritual is not first, but the natural. And then afterward comes the spiritual. The first man was of the earth, made of dust. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As was the first man from the dust, so also those who are made of dust. And as is the heavenly man, so also those who are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the man of dust, we shall also bear the image of the man from heaven. Yes! Are there any Corinthians at Berean this morning? Then I want you to encourage each other to continue in Christ. Encourage each other that there's a better day coming. Encourage each other that soon and very soon we're going to see our King. Are there any Corinthians at Berean this morning? Now this I say, brethren, verse 15. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So then, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, that's when the saying will be brought to pass. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death! Oh, death! Oh, death! Where is thy sting? Oh, grave! Where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us victory through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, in conclusion, as the last words of this sermon, if I'm going to close out my epistle, let me do it the right way. If there's any members of Corinth here this morning, then let me remind you, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ are going to rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up with them in the clouds, up in the air, and we shall forever be with our Lord. Let us comfort one another with these words. You have not run in vain. You have not given up in vain. You have not made sacrifices on your job in vain. You have not turned down promotions in vain. You have not walked away from good money in vain. The Lord will repay. Oh, what a day of rejoicing that will be. If we can just get united, if we can just come together on one accord, then we shall all see the face of Jesus. Are there any Corinthians at Berean this morning? Is there anybody that the Lord's talking to? Is there anybody that the Lord is saying it's going to be all right? You may have to endure some hardship, but it's going to be all right. A better day after a while. There's going to be a better day. Oh, child, there will be a better day. Glory to God, a better day. After a while, every head's bowed, every eye's closed. Oh, my Jesus. You have spoken to us. And Father, as the shepherd of this flock, and as a member of this body, I will confess to you this morning, my God, that we at Berean are not united. We watch our brothers and sisters making poor choices and skipping their way into hell, and we don't even open our mouths. We see our brothers and sisters discouraged, and we do not lift them up and remind them about the resurrection of Christ Jesus. We see our brothers and sisters being duped and tricked by the sophistries of this world, and we do not encourage them to rely only on the wisdom of God. And we apologize for that today. We apologize for being so self-centered, so so concerned about me that we forget about everybody else. And this morning, in the name of Jesus, we just want to simply say, my Father, my God, help us to be a united church, a victorious church, a unified church, a church that is on one accord in Christ Jesus. We can't do it, that's obvious, but you can. So have thine own way, have thine own way. And there's somebody here this morning that just like the believers at Corinth, when they heard this epistle from Paul, they were convicted to live a holier and more righteous life. And I don't know what you're struggling with. It may be with gossip. It may be with sexual immorality. It may be with not seeking God's wisdom. There's somebody here this morning that when I read this book of the Bible to you, that's the most Bible that you've had in months because you have not been studying the word for yourself. And we're not here to judge, but we're here to help. And I can speak for behalf of the Berean church. We're here to help you today because we recognize that we've got to get through this thing together or we're not going to get through this thing at all. So there's somebody here this morning and you're telling Jesus, Jesus, I heard you speak to me through your epistle and I know that I need to do better in Christ Jesus. I need to do better in Christ Jesus. If that's you, I just want you to stand where you are. I heard you talking to me, Lord, and I need to do better in Christ Jesus. I see you standing. There's somebody else here this morning. Just stand where you are. Don't worry about who's already stood and who's looking at. That's the last thing ought to be on your mind today.